welcome to the With the Wool podcast. We're here to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and my brain is currently a shitpost.
And I'm AR Palver, and my love language is violence.
My favorite thing about getting AR on the show is we'll be like, AR, there probably is news this weekend. Do you want to be on the show? He's like, no, it's not going to be anything important. AR, they talked about food for 5 seconds. Are you available Monday? Probably.
Actually, you caught me in an off week between a meeting, between board meetings.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, is it's not like I poke at you every week. Like, no. I only actually poke at you to show up when there is potentially a reason for you to be here. So there's plenty of times when you're not able to, and they don't even know that you were ever asked. So you
just... it's a transition episode between two arcs, so, you know... It's an important time to catch up on what happened during the interlude arc of Beat Break, because there's so much to talk about.
It's weird, because they're not treating it as important as when we swapped from Glowing Dawn to Tactics. And it feels like people have noticed this.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that when we start getting some of the teaser stuff. So, first up, Beat Break Episode 27, Wandering Love. You know, it's funny, when I first... thought it was going to be a shipping episode. I was like, ugh, really? And then I'm like, okay, it's going to have fun. Shenanigans will be fun. I will mentally enjoy it because I've put myself in the right headspace. And that's literally
like
90 fucking seconds.
I like random shipping episodes.
Yeah.
I think they need to do that shit more often.
Yeah, like, it's funny. Like, if you looked at the title, the teaser when they first announced the interlude arc.
All Hitomi.
It is all Hitomi. She's in the episode for all of 45 fucking seconds. And I will actually agree with chat. It feels like the term is used too much for shows. It really does feel like a bait and switch, though.
Yes, this is the one time you can actually argue.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
This is what bait and switch actually means. We were promised the potential for Tomuro to be in an awkward situationship, and instead we got this.
Yeah. And I remember...
It's also really funny, because every time it looks like they're going to give Hitomi a character, it's like, no, she's just here to deliver
the
plot.
Well, that's the funny part, is I remember when that episode was there, it wasn't when you were here, AR, I remember telling Dev, like, it feels like they want to use Hitomi, but they have no reason for her to be there, so she just randomly walks through the screen, waves, and walks away.
She's plot delivery service. That has been her last three appearances.
Yeah, it's
shows up, say, here, something's wrong, you deal with it, and then she disappears.
It's really disappointing, because it feels like there's stuff you can do with her.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to get a normal person's perspective on all this.
And here's the thing, she starts to give her perspective, and then something distracts her, and then that's it. But yeah, so we start...
It's not something to overlook either, like, she is thinking about Tomuro.
Yeah.
Why is she thinking about Tomuro?
But that's the other thing. The show does not even give us enough to go, okay, she actually does like him. It may be she's just worried about someone she knows is off doing shit.
It's not even a case of whether she likes him or not. It's like, is she taking his, like, oh, he's, you know, kind of off doing his own thing. Should I be off doing my own thing? Like, there might be something going on. Like, she might have a character arc.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to talk about it.
Chat actually had the best input on it. She's a Ghost Game character.
Jesus.
And I hate how accurate that is.
Awful.
We start with her looking at the egg, and like we said, she's thinking about what Tomuro said when he left school, which, like AR pointed out, is really interesting, because it's not necessarily shipping. It may be that she's trying to work through what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she walks past the funny part is, I can't tell if they want him to be disguised or not, which makes it funnier, is Mummymon.
Mummymon is cosplaying Mummymon.
And then here's where I stop for a moment. It's like, weird, because did they ever clarify if she found out that Tomuro's okay? Because the last time she saw Tomuro, he was being kidnapped.
That was the last time she delivered the plot. Yeah. That's right.
And fortune teller wants to make your love come true, and then wraps the bandage, and we get the glow. Are we a little disappointed that the glowy pink eyes weren't like hearts?
Nah, it's a little
yeah.
much. I don't mind that.
I kind of wish they were, just because if you're going to go that cartoony, and then like we get Glowing Dawn.
It's on the nose.
Yeah, you admit you're probably right. So Glowing Dawn shopping, Gekkoman's hungry. Prismon V, I really like Prismon with the tea, because she doesn't drink it. She doesn't overtly care. She just likes smelling the tea. Right. And she's like...
It works. It really works with her, though, because like, she enjoys the experience,
but not
rather
the tea.
Than the taste of it. Yeah, she doesn't actually drink the tea.
Well,
she
that's
just
the,
wants
well, so here's
smell
the fun,
it out of nice flatware.
So here's the funny thing is, and someone in chat pointed out, I think they do animate her drinking it once. They just don't, like, give us a reaction to, like, I don't remember if she had a reaction to it or not. Like, has she drank it and doesn't like it? Like, or is that just... Because they've said Digimon don't eat, but we've seen multiple Digimon eat. And they don't overtly detail
Gekkoman has no problem with it.
Yeah, but like we saw, it was Burpmon, right?
Yeah.
And they don't detail it past that, and I would like them to, because they made such a big deal out of it.
Yeah. I think it was maybe more of a taste. It's more of a consumption thing for fun, rather than it actually gives them E-Pulse, other than Burpmon.
Maybe. And then
I don't know. I don't think food is actually sustenance for them. It's just something. It's just a little treat.
It's hard. Gekkoman seems to actually like get tired without food, though.
Yeah, but I think that's just him.
Maybe. Yeah. And then Hitomi shows up to say hello. And this here, we get a vague mention of her being worried about him, which I guess can be considered follow-up to him being kidnapped. But when she was worried about him having left school and not being kidnapped earlier, I don't know. And then
I feel like they probably texted her. It's like, hey, he's not dead. We're good.
And then Reyna is the ship freak.
Yes.
Chiratmon.
This is what we mean by like we want all the like. Yeah. I don't, you know, here's say what you want about people actually getting together. It's the reactions to that sort of
Reyna,
thing.
Reyna gets the reaction. Chiratmon's mostly confused, and Tomro doesn't really know what's going on. And Reyna bashes Gekkoman so that Tomro is free.
Yeah.
Hitomi takes Tomro to her favorite place, which it's weird in that we don't.
Something's going on with Hitomi.
Yeah, it's
I don't know if we're ever gonna talk about it.
Yeah, it feels
something's going on with Hitomi.
Yeah, it's weird because it feels like when she was introduced, like she was kind of like the running around bubblehead, and now it's like, oh, her favorite place is this place to sit quietly and be introspective, but like she doesn't do that as a character that we've seen.
She's going through something.
Yeah, and then everyone's spying on them, and then Mummy Mon's very excited about the E-Pulse of Love. And then...
You do you, buddy.
Okay.
You do you, my guy.
I like how Hitomi's voice starts to get a little tweaked.
Yeah.
The Yandere voice a bit.
Yeah.
And then Mummy Mon's bandage grabs Tomro and it explodes in pink. She wakes up, freaks out, and runs off, which is funny because this has not happened to anyone else. This is literally only done to her to get her out of the plot.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand if Mummy had any reason to just take it off of Hitomi. Like, I understand switching to Tomro because he's got more potential E-Pulse to take from. Like, that part I understand.
Yeah.
Is there a reason to take it off Hitomi other than plot?
Yeah, that's exactly. And then Reyna and Makoto are confused. And then at base, Tomo's acting very odd. Gekkoman's very happy because he's boiling a bunch of eggs.
I like that Reyna and Makoto are confused, and their justification for it is, wow, somehow he messed that up. Like, dude.
Like you fail horribly.
How did you fumble
big time.
How did you screw that up? She was into you.
See, I don't know how they're confused about it, because when she showed up, they were there to see that he had no idea what was happening. And he legitimately did not have any idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So that he actually screwed that up isn't that surprising, to be honest. And then,
it's not surprising. It's just that they're surprised that this was a slam dunk, dude. Wow.
And
you have no game, buddy.
And bless them. They do the Kyo's like, I want to give him space over his heartbreak. And then Tomros is trying to feed eggs to Gekkoman, who's very confused by it. And also angry that they're out of eggs. And then the bandages grab everyone else. Mummy Mon's very pleased about this. Right as Prismon and Trotmon turn the corner. So Is Trotmon this dumb?
He's obsessive young. About things, but he's not very observant.
But what I mean is like, he thinks he sees someone, and his whole thing is like, information and, like, seeing things. So you think, like, if he thinks he saw someone there, he would be interested in figuring out why.
I don't know, the last time he went to go investigate thinking he saw someone, he kind of got knocked out.
Yeah.
He has no backup.
And then the Digimon start getting very confused. Makoto, who's grabbing Trotmon, and then Trotmon's very confused as he fakes fights him because Makoto wants this. Kyo bumps into... Go ahead.
Makoto's love language being quality time is that's scary.
It also feels like they pick that because they don't have anything else to give him to do.
Hey, I dissect it. I call it as I see it. Like you're probably right, but like that says something.
Yeah.
That says a lot more than the writers probably understand.
Yeah, and then
Makoto.
Kyo
They gave Makoto more quality. They gave Makoto more interesting character
than he did in his episode.
Than he did in his episode yeah. 2 weeks ago.
Then Kyo bumps into Makoto, and then the weird eyes appears as he brushes Cougarmon. Pristimon's looking for tea and shows Pristimon the tea set she wanted. Also a giant bag filled with tea.
Meanwhile, Reyna's love language being receiving gifts totally on that track.
Yeah, Reyna and Tomuro both fit their characters in that dealing with if you were to remove their limiters, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, Remy was asking, like, why are you looking up love languages? What's this about? It's like, I had to explain.
And then Gekkomon, I'm trying to decide if Gekkomon could actually eat too many boiled eggs, basically. Like, I get it's for the funny, but like, with how much we normally see him trying to eat.
Everyone has to have a
little. And then Reyna bought Pristimon outfits, and Trotmon scared. See, this is where, like, everyone starts to realize something's a bit off. It feels like Pristimon should be the one most aware, though.
You'd think so. I mean, Pristimon's the most...
Wait, you're usually really, really stingy with money. Why are you shopping
she's
on TV?
She's the most... I mean, she's the most in trouble. Also, you know, isn't there supposed to be, this weird tomboy thing going on with Pristimon, and suddenly she's getting these cute dresses? I think Pristimon would have a reaction.
I think... that they have not figured out what to do with Pristimon or Reyna, so they're used at whatever point they can at this point.
I think that's a conversation that's going to happen in a future episode.
And then Reyna calls Maki to try to borrow money. I will say, I love the animation of Pristimon with the communicator running around.
Oh yeah. It's like, this just feels like a bad idea to borrow money from Maki.
Also, am I wrong, or did they not say they were out of eggs when Tomuro then pops up with a bunch more eggs?
I just assumed he went and acquired more eggs.
Yeah, he probably got more.
I guess.
And Reyna told him to. I mean, Reyna did tell him to get more.
Yeah, and this is where, and here's where we see just how dumb the Digimon are. The Digimon now decide something might be wrong, and to Pristimon's credit, Pristimon notices the bandages finally. Trotmon analyzes them instantly. They're like, oh, Mommymon, that fucker's here. And then Kyo made an ugly little Cougarmon figure, 18 of them using fur.
Oh, boy.
And weirdly, Cougarmon has not figured out something's actually wrong, despite him dodging Kyo. Then he realizes the bandage, and then Kyo starts to sniff his fur.
It's nice to get Cougarmon.
Like, oh, and God, then this is too much for me.
And then the shot of the episode when the Digimon are all hiding up above, Cougarmon can't, so we just get Gekkomon trying to hold him with the tongue.
Cougarmon in on the silliness is all
me,
I
please save me.
I needed that a lot.
And then in pops Yoshi.
And then, I just wanted to stop by and hang out. But first off, you're a grown man, dude.
I mean, what else does he have to do with his life?
All he has is a collection of shirts that he doesn't want people to touch.
He has a car. Go somewhere.
And then they tie him up and take him to the bar.
He did. He went right over to Kyo's place.
Okay, here's an interesting one. They detail what's going on with Maki, and she goes, there's no wanted for Mommymon, but it could be a Ghostmon from 3 years ago that's evolved. That's
really good recollection there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that.
It's a bit of a reach.
Yeah, that's like, if she could have said, like, oh, there's a Ghostmon that could fuck with emotions or something that lines up with this, but instead just like, there's a ghost, it's a mummy, it's probably the same guy.
Yeah, because Ghostmon can only evolve to one thing, I'm sure. It's Digimon.
Yeah.
Who knows what the hell he evolved into.
I will say, I love them going off on their own to Mummymon. I'm just amused by, like, the Digimon walking together. And then Mummymon...
I like that Mummymon was staying undercover for 3 years and then just shows up in the middle of a railroad track.
Well, especially when you consider, they talk about how hard it is for Digimon to get E-Pulse, even, like... taking it.
Yeah, he's got to be doing it somehow.
But not only that, he's apparently he's evolved multiple levels also.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose if you get into the racket, you start small, get in the racket a little bit, just have a little bit for sustenance, and then eventually kind of expand operations. And you know what? Fortune tellers make people stupid anyway, so. Yeah.
And Mummymon wants to know how they feel about the love, and he's not going to restore them. And so, the funny... they kind of mentioned it earlier. Mummymon is a much higher level than everyone here to such a degree that they mention it. And then, like, Cougarmon's rushing into attack, Mummymon's fighting back, and, like, nothing is actually happening to Mummymon.
Oh, no. No.
And then the humans show up getting chased by Yoshi. She says they got away. How? They were tied up.
They're young and spry, and he is old.
I don't know how well... we don't know how well Yoshi ties knots.
Yeah, that's true also.
Yeah, he doesn't seem the type of guy that's in the Shibari.
Oh God!
And then we get a
That's a different kind of shipping.
We get a flashback to Ghostmon with his partner. You know what? Look, it makes sense. I would like it to not be so stereotypically basic. The girl grew up, decided she fell in love, and throws away the partner. I get it, but it's almost too...
like, my boyfriend doesn't like my cat and or dog. I have to get rid of them now.
It's too basic.
It's very simplistic for beat break, but, you know, even that...
To be fair, I'm not even sure that's true.
I'll give it that. Like, it's pretty bad. Like, it's so-so for Ghost Game.
Mummymon comments being in love is important, and Geckomon points out he wants to share things with the normal Tomoro. He wants him to wake up. Mummymon wants Tomoro to just do what Geckomon wants, and Geckomon, as you'd expect, headbutts him, which dissolves the bandage, and Tomoro flips out at Geckomon before he figures out what's going on.
Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of cop-outs in this third act.
Yeah, there's another cop-out. When the evolution sequence started, were you actually surprised it ended up being Armalizamon?
No. I think they're going to hold off on the big guy until it's
real. And then Armalizamon's going to free everyone. Turns around, and they've all been headbutted. And Cougarmon comments he does not want to be
also
sniffed.
How exactly was Armalizamon going to free everybody?
Yeah,
he's gonna flash those.
Just gonna chop their arms off.
Yep, and they turn around to find Mummymon crying, wondering why isn't trying to please someone proof you love them. And he realizes his mistakes. He just wanted to be with his partner and be loved. And this is where the
I'll die.
And this is where the overall like theme of the series does fit in, where Kyo pointed out he can start over and try again. And Mummymon wants to know if he can be like glowing dawn. Kyo, sure he can.
Didn't we establish last episode that even doing that does not actually set you?
Yeah.
Give you a new start. Like, you're still gonna remember all the trauma.
And then Mummymon comments on him being kind. I do like Mummymon commenting on him being kind, because there was a decent period of 10 or 15 episodes where it felt like, if they were going to actually be a more mature series, that Kyo was something was going to pop up with him, and it still might, but like they're past the point of doing like the weird dark reveal.
I don't know. One thing I noticed is that of all those expressions of love, Kyo was the only one who found something for him, who's dealing with it himself rather than, you know, doing something that would please his partner.
I mean, technically, he was being pleased by getting lots and lots of pets and brushes.
Yes. He was, and then he's just like, okay, I have enough fur, I'm just going to make these dolls and yeah. color those myself.
But also, like, Tomura was really happy making those eggs. And then we finish with everyone eating, and Tomura gives
Gip... Tomura's love language is acts of service, which also tracks for his character.
And giving Gekkoman an extra piece of bacon.
Uh-huh.
And then Reyna isn't returning Pristimon's cup either, which is where it feels strange because just two episodes ago they point out that now they're actually more destitute than they were before.
She just is going to take her a long time to pay Maki back.
Someone actually pointed this out when the episode aired a couple days ago. They shouldn't have had them lose the money, and then they should have just said that Reyna spent it all here. That way it wasn't quite the cartoony, oh, there was damage and it's for the money they... had.
It is a bit of a, like, really, we are gonna completely reset this episode for the end of this episode. Like, this is like, you're allowed to have a little progression even in a pretty meaningless episode. Like, and then, it's okay.
And then we finish.
If they want to fix the damn TV, no one's gonna mind.
And we finish with the most terrifying thing: Kyo wanting to know if anyone wants the Cougarmon figure since he has tons of them. No one does.
Yikes.
It is a fun episode.
Maybe he did a better job.
Look, it is a fun episode before a new story arc, but it was a much milder and less fun episode than I feel like a lot of people were hoping for. Because, we said at the beginning, it really was a bait and switch for what, like, the expectation was. So it ended up kind of mild.
I agree. And in a lot of ways, it does feel like they felt like the need, because this was such these breather episodes, they did feel like all three kind of held back on something. Like, they could have explored all three of these could have explored their concepts a lot further, and they didn't, because
the weird thing is, these episodes don't really mean anything. Well, that's the thing is I really disagree on that, and I don't even like them calling it interlude for a key reason. The first one, it does follow up on them needing a break after everything that happened.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
The second one, it is a follow-up to one of the more liked episodes of the series. But, like... And
that also felt like they could have gone further with it.
No, they absolutely could. It felt disappointing because, and I said this last week, it feels like that end of episode, oh, no, what's going to happen to him? And it's just, oh, he was in the Coliseum for an hour.
Which is, I mean, I like that, but that's... I'm okay with that. That was like, yeah,
were fun episodes. They do hold back too much in them.
He was supposed to be cold hearted, so I think his terror was justified.
Yeah, they're dragging him off to like some ominous room. They're gonna waterboard his ass, and it's like, oh no, into the Coliseum with you, and lose to Raito immediately.
Yeah.
So Mummymon was.
I will agree with this that I don't like that they called this the interlude arc.
Yeah, I don't.
That is, like, just don't, like, you don't have to tell us that it's not going to matter.
That's the thing is, because to me it did matter. It feels like they're trying to cop out any complaints about it by going, oh, it was an interlude in between arcs. And it's like, I'm sorry if that's what you had for three episodes and you're trying to like hand wave it away. That's kind of like. Shit production, honestly.
This world is robust enough that you can have interesting situations that don't advance the overarching arc. You can have a couple episodes here and there. Even the Tactics arc and Glowing Dawn arc have fairly meaningless episodes.
The one thing me and Dev
Tactics
like
eternally eating shit.
Yeah, the one thing me and Dev like really agreed on with Tactics is a lot of that arc did not do anything.
Tactics was pretty crap.
Yeah.
Let's be real here.
Like, look at this elite team of mercenaries.
They never deal with the elite thing ever again, to the point that I'm still upset that they had an actual, like, poster with a catchphrase, and it was perfection versus freedom. Where was the perfection? In fact, were they even fighting, like, on the side of freedom, really?
No.
Yeah.
They're just kind of there.
Okay, so cast for this episode. Mummymon was Takumi Yamazaki. He was Katsuji in Hunters. And in Ghost Game, he was the mercy face of Asuramon.
The other thing I had to say about the perfection versus freedom thing is, if you think about Naito, who decided to abandon his post to go chase down Kyo, he chose freedom in the end, and look what he got for it. Like, that's not exactly representing perfection. Representing freedom very well. Like, he switched sides too, and he got his ass kicked.
Okay, so are you ready for the roles of who they got to play Mummy Mon?
Yes.
Yeah. Cyborg Ninja / Gray Fox in Metal Gear. Banzai in Gintama. Various characters in Dot Hack. Mickey in Initial D. M. Quavi in various Gundam stuff. Ferio in Ray Earth. And some dubbed over content is quite good. Are you ready?
Yes.
He's Rom in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. In the Japanese dub of Power Rangers in a few episodes, he's Pudgy Pig.
Oh.
And are ready for
specifically have an actor for Pudgy Pig.
Yes. And are you ready for the best one?
I had a figurine of that.
Are you ready?
His Pudgy Pig was great.
In South Park, he's Philip.
I also like the fact that they have a cadre of voice actors that you have specifically one person to voice Philip is also wild, considering how most of South Park is just like three people.
Yes. And then Arena Goto played Ghostmon. She did various bit roles in Ghost Game. Her biggest role so far is probably she's the mini version of Dende in Dragon Ball Daima. And it's weird. They don't normally do different voices in the Japanese. That was like an early dub thing that even the dub kind of stopped doing most of the time. So that Beat Break has leaned into it multiple occasions. Feels a bit odd. And then next episode is episode 28, Gift, which is the beginning of the Gift arc. And we'll get into some previews of that in a minute. But first, some production art from episode 26 of Haruomi. Very good. I love when we get the production art.
Like, yeah, let me see all the background animation.
And then we get the line animation of Commandramon protecting Haruomi from towards the end of the episode. And then they went hog wild on the character art.
This is all amazing, especially the fact that Kaito and what's-her-name have the same underlayer.
I'm just amused that I remember when they introduced Tia Ludamon, and we all went, man, it feels like that QR code's going to come back to bite them on the ass. And it did. And the funny part is, the Greymon one, that is still the adventure profile art. They just added a little scar to it.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
That one's wild to me that it's the same. Then we get a profile of Miharu from the Gift arc. They've blanked out. Blanking out the voice actor feels like a weird one. And they've done this on a couple characters, like to try to build a pipe. And then, like, it doesn't, like, they're like, oh, this is Haruomi. He's going to be super important. But we're not announcing the voice actor right now. And then, like, 2 days later, they announced the voice actor. It's like, okay. It, like, was not.
Or they announced that one VTuber in advance and barely showed up.
Yeah.
She's done more press for the show than half the cast has. That's the funny part is me and anyway. Dev even commented, like, she's still doing press for it now. And then,
anyway, back to, Key the Metal Idol here.
Yeah.
Oh, you did too? I'm glad somebody else has.
Well,
I'm glad somebody else was forced to think about Key the Metal Idol this decade.
So here's the other thing. I'm often the person who, when someone goes, "Oh, it looks like character X," I'll go, "No, it doesn't." The initial reaction to the poster, it was never going to be the crossover that some people imagined, but I don't disagree that out of context and with the extra compression that made stuff look redder, it did look kind of like Yujin.
I can see that now, yeah.
It's weird because, like, when we've seen art of this character, she has, like, a rounder face, and she's drawn so fancy on that poster where she's drawn, her face is, like, slimmer.
Yeah. I mean, Yujin is basically Key the Metal Idol when you think about it, so.
So, we will see what comes up here. Do they have to blank out the height? Like, I'm sorry, but some of it's some of it's
like we saw the screenshots in the episode. She's standing next to someone. It's not too hard to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, some of it feels like I hope if they're building up the mystery, it's worth it. I just don't know if it is, especially since we've seen her for 3 fucking weeks in the ED, because it feels like they should not have started that one that early. I still think that's weird. And then
they wanted to hype it up.
And then in V-Jump, they basically just go over, like, oh, she's the key to the story. And they weirdly give her, and weirdly, despite everything being blanked out, they give us actual information. She has a somewhat ephemeral and mysterious aura. She will become involved with Tomuro and his friends in the new arc. And then they go over the tactics and Clay stuff. I'm curious. The episode previous for this show have been strange, so it's kind of interesting. So we'll see. And then, AR's favorite topic, stuff from Digimon Con. A second social media campaign for Digimon Up, of which we have not really seen gameplay. There is no date, but they keep doing social media campaigns. And a few people got upset when I point out, when I said, based on how they count stuff, they could say they've hit it even if they don't. And people go, no, that's not how it is. They're not doing these. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, when they are...
This is that Digitama before trial over again.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, nothing is as frustrating
but
as that.
What I'm saying is, it's like, they're like...
No more nade nade.
Like, the bottom... here's the thing. The bottom thing says 30,000 new followers. You can take that however you want. They could go, it's 30,000 from when they put it up. Or they could go, we hit it already. We're already over 30,000. Because here's the thing. They don't want to put up when this is done and go, this has been up for months, and we did not get 30K. Now, they're going to hit it regardless, but they're not putting numbers that, are questionable.
Yeah, they're going to go, look at how much participation we have. This is great. Yeah.
I just assumed that I don't expect there to actually be gameplay. I thought it was just a gacha.
Well, that's the weird thing is, until the first campaign, it seems a lot of people did not realize this was going to be gacha.
I just assumed it was a V-Pet with gacha stuff in it.
I saw the thing at Digimon Con. I'm like, oh great, a gacha. I'm not paying attention to this. Unless there's a story attached to it, like Re:Arise, I do not care.
Yeah, I don't think at no point did. Yeah, it gotcha.
There is nothing with Digimon Up that makes me want to engage with it at all.
And so the weird thing for me is it's not like. I don't play gacha because ripoff don't want to deal with it. The people who are most upset about gacha also play card games.
They're their own form of gacha.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, people be like, it's gacha. It's terrible. There should not be gacha. But then I will see this person buying card packs. It's like, that is the same thing.
It's like you're still gambling.
It's gambling. That's this or that or
yeah,
this or that or your Madden Ultra team. It's
and then Digimon at Tokyo Summerland pre-summer event has been announced starting April 25th, and they will have more updates soon-ish. So April 25th to June 29th at the Tokyo Summerland theme park. Weirdly, they are doing two themes, which is Beat Break and all Digimon. They keep doing stuff where Beat Break isn't alone, and it does not really bode well for how it's doing, to be honest.
Assume they had, the standees in storage
so
from
that's,
other events.
So that's the thing is these do not appear to be the same standees, I don't think. So they announced, so one of the things they announced, Beat Splash, they're going to do a splashing water show to Butterfly, Mad Pulse, and Brave Groove. It was the second ending theme, right?
Yeah, with the idol group
the one that
looked that, like they all
Oh, that was the creepiest animated. Shit ever. That, holy shit, the makeup they put on them, holy crap. And they have not been using that song for 3 weeks.
But it does slap.
They'll have various standees around the park for Beat Break. Beat Break with the lighting from the initial teaser posters and the all Digimon key art, and some of them will be up to 6 feet tall. Mugendramon and Marasimon is what I assume. And then collaboration food and drinks at six things in the park. So the all.
This is what AR really came for.
I'm always here for the drinks.
The all Digimon themed drink with egg shaped cups while supplies last. They did not tell us what everything is made out of, though.
They know better. Yeah. They learned their lesson.
Now, the funny part is, this is the most appealing drink we've seen. It looks like it's just cherry soda and soda water. And also fried chicken, which is also safe.
It's fine. Yeah,
I'm hungry.
Then B at which is the Makoto and Trotmon's lemonade. Lemonade safe, but also, what's the blue at the bottom?
What's not the blue? Just lemonade.
Fucking cure cow.
It probably. Then, here's where we get a bit more dangerous. Rain and Pristimon's almond drink. Uh-oh. Now, I have some questions. Here's the thing. We can see what looks to be red liquid. Then we get white stuff in the middle with darker red stuff on top, and then some sort of cream on top. I want to know what this is first. Because, yeah. Like, all
I am concerned.
That is not the color of almond.
Yes. This is not scream.
Just looking at it, it's like, oh, maybe it's like strawberries and cream.
Maybe, but they call it almond drink, which is concerning.
Yeah. If it's strawberries and cream, you don't lead with almond.
Yeah. Okay. And then we get Glowing Dawn's sweet and spicy soy sauce grilled beef bowl. Now, this does not appear to be to my taste, but this makes sense. It is a beef bowl. It has
Gyudon's really popular.
It is basically gyudon with a soft boiled egg and a few pieces of nori.
They need to be making the crap that Glowing Dawn actually has to eat.
Yeah, this is normal. This is I don't know if I've had soft boiled egg on gyudon, but it's fine. Kyo and Rossimon's chicken steak skewers. This is just them going back and forth between chicken and steak. I can't tell if it's going back and forth or if it's separate skewers. They only show one skewer, and to me, it kind of just looks like chicken, but a few pieces on there are cooked enough that it could be beef.
Maybe it's chicken fried steak.
I don't think so.
That's not what chicken fried steak looks like.
Yeah, that looks like grilled chicken to me.
No, it's not.
So we'll see. And then Tomoron Gekkomon's hamburger bento.
Of course it has a fucking egg.
Yeah, I feel like this does, when you look at everything, does this feel like it looks much so like a decent amount more expensive than every other food item, honestly?
It's got more components.
I mean, I would have assumed like the gyudon would have been at the top.
That's what I would think.
It's like, okay, it's just a, I guess because it has like the sides and stuff.
I guess.
I mean, it's like,
I don't
just
know.
By quantity.
Maybe. And then with every food item, you get a clear file based on the different art that will be throughout the park. And we should be getting more stuff for that shortly. And it'll be running for 2 months. So if anyone's visiting Japan and they want to go to a park, Digimon
stuff. You can tell us what the red stuff is.
Yeah, I feel like there's real. Here's the thing. The all Digimon themed drink, I don't know what the flavors, but it looks like a normal drink. Our primary drink concerns is what is the blue on the lemonade? Because here's the thing, there's plenty of good things that it could be, but we've been tricked enough.
We've been burned before.
And then the almond drink, here's the thing, if you said this was like some sort of slushy milkshake, it would make sense.
Yeah.
It's the almond part.
Yeah, but you say almond.
I mean, the important thing
is
they
like
kept
the shit from Iron Lung.
They kept the sesame away from the drinks this time.
Don't tell them that. They'll make a Joe drink.
Tell them they will. They're always threatening to make a Joe drink. There will be a Joe drink at some point in the future, and we will review it.
And then, Cardpocalypse. So Lekismon and Cressmon. These are both just kind of nice, a bit cartoony. Few things that'll be familiar to people who play Time Stranger.
I like the colors.
Yeah. And then this is the one that surprised everyone. Cyber Engage. It is the cover art to the Atmon 3DS game.
This is such
I know we've been
planning for years about wanting to get Atmon in the card game. This is just a little okay. We're going this far, huh?
Well, here's the thing you have to be terrified by.
I never
by.
Asked for this.
Here's the thing you have to be terrified by. The what they've decided to do is that every set has a specific like number of Atmon stuff in it, but there's only so much actual Atmon stuff, and we're a year into it now, so they have to start getting eclectic. So like here, the cover to the game that no one bought.
Yep.
Then Tamer card Kazuki and Itsuki, which are the player character and rival based on who you choose. Here's the thing. It was funny. When I put this up, it is the most that I've ever seen people be confused on who someone is.
I only know who these are because of that Best Tamer tournament I ran a couple years ago. I was required to put these two in it in the same entry. That was the only reason I know who they were. So I saw when I saw that in the notes, I'm like, Kazuki and Itsuki Aren't they from the Atmon game? Why are they oh, seriously?
Oh, they're here.
Yeah.
They're here. Let me see how much they lost by. You can keep going. I'll get back to you. I'm not going to pretend that. I want to see how bad they got beaten.
Then we get Offmon playing a game on his own, which is fun, especially since, ignoring the button layout, the actual physical shell of the console he's playing appears to be a Pippin.
Aww.
And here's the thing. While everyone knows that it's the Apple Pippin, do you know who made the Pippin? Bandai.
I was going to say...
Yes.
Be able to use it, it's probably...
No, to be clear, it is like the shell shape of a Pippin. The design of the top is not the Pippin. Like, the Pippin had like 10 fucking buttons on top.
Okay, I pulled the results for the Best Tamer tournament.
Two votes.
That I ran. No, actually, they got 20% of the vote against Sayo. I'm surprised.
And that...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's 80-20.
Someone's definitely
still
vote-stuffing.
Yeah. I mean, like, Sayo still won 80-20. Yeah. Like, it wasn't close, but still. That's better than I would have expected.
Then we get Logamon and Shootmon. I like how these have, like, Logamon's kind of, like, pointed up to the left, Shootmon's down to the right.
Pretty nice balance.
Everyone forgets Logamon exists because he wasn't used in the anime.
But he's a cute puppy.
They'll find a way to get him.
And then Toma, with new art of him standing there being Toma.
That's Tom, all right.
Yep. Wanyamon. Yep. Wanyamon gets such great little art.
I love it anytime he shows up.
Oh, yeah, Wanyamon is...
And then Galmon gets, like, really fucking good art of him looking at this, like, looking off over a cliff face with a suit. This is...
Like, very... It's very Mega Man.
It is, but you know what throws me off? If you look at his head, doesn't it look like the Star Fox puppets?
Oh my god, you're right.
Oh, man.
Then we get Mirage Gal...
I can't unsee that now.
Yeah, that's...
Then we get Mirage Gal...
I hope I don't end up getting that card.
And a parallel card. So, me and Dev have talked this before. I don't like them that they're now doing the parallel with the normal at the same time. It, like, diminishes both of them because we're seeing them side by side.
Yeah, because one of them's always losing, essentially, instead of staying on their own.
Yeah, there's one you want.
I will say, I think both of these are cool, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say which one you want.
I think the parallel's more dynamic, though. Then Gear Force Village, which that is certainly a drawing of that throne area, but without Fatty on it. Like, it's weird, because, like, he is, like, the central thing about that town, and he's just not there. That's menacing, and it was menacing in the game. Then we get the Paradise Coliseum, which a number of people noted, it doesn't quite look like this in the game. And I'm trying to think if that's because of the angle or if it's actually just like, this is more like concept art. You know what's weird? Does this look more like a Pokemon arena?
Yes, especially because in the middle, yeah, you can it see looks like, just kind of looks like a Pokeball.
It looks like a Pokeball and everything, yeah. And then we get, as a follow-up...
It's Sword Shield all over again.
Then we get Bearmon. Which, this is the Bearmon brothers from earlier in the game. Earlier in the set, we got just the younger Bearmon looking sad. And then Grismon in a mirror image to the other Grismon in the set. The other one was pointed the other way. It was daytime, and he did not look quite as angry.
This one's pissed.
Yep. Then we get Great Grismon and Kalismon. Great Grismon fits into, like, the Grismon ones we saw. Kalismon's very neat, and it's sort of the... a reverse of the Marsmon image. Not exactly, but like...
I like the blue light reflections on the left side of the card. That looks pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's neat. It is. Then Commandramon and Sealsramon. What's interesting with the Commandramon one, if you look at like... So the Commandramon's not neat, but if you look at the one in the back, it looks kind of like the guinea pig rabbit things from Apocalypse Meow.
Jeez.
Huh.
It does.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, it's not...
No, it isn't, but like...
Even the illusion tracks.
It feels like an homage to that, which is also known as Cat Shit 1.
I'm all in favor of Commandramon being associated with PTSD from going forward.
And then we get Sealsramon being very dynamic as it's slashing under fire, trying to do his best to get a model kit so he can appear on it. And then, so, okay, Tank Dramon. A lot of people are like, oh, this is the coolest art of Tank Dramon ever. To me, it's not cool for a key reason. So if you look at this art...
It's just Tank Dramon.
If you look at this art...
It's really dizzy.
Now imagine someone carrying drinks for people and tripping and falling in a movie, and you'll see them make this exact face as they do the slow-mo of them going down.
Yeah, why isn't he looking where he's shooting?
Because he's worried about spilling
coffee.
When
you're shooting everywhere, you don't have to look.
You don't have to look.
He's worried about spilling coffee before the big meeting.
He's laying down suppressive fire, okay?
And then...
That's not what Tank Dramon's for. He's for blowing shit up.
And then Clavis and Jamon in a scene from Time Stranger. AR, did you play through Time Stranger?
I'm still, like, not even... I don't think I'm halfway through it yet.
So
I took a break.
This is a very memorable scene from Time Stranger because... You know how, like... The game is functionally just Cyber Sleuth, but they've opened up the camera.
Yes.
And the camera is not really working in the sense of if you're in like a closed space. They put you in a maze with him chasing you and you can't hurt him. So you have to try to get out. And he just keeps catching up to you. And then you have to battle him long enough to put him to sleep so you can then try running around again. And it's just really not thought out well.
X gonna give it to you.
Yep. Then Coronamon. This is a cute little jumpy. I'd like it.
He looks so excited.
He doesn't know what he's in for. And then in V-Jump, we got a 2-page spread for the new starter decks. Nothing really new to discuss there. V-Jump was very disappointing this month. The only thing that was new was... a new range of adventure products coming to Annabirth in the Toei Online store of Digimon Adventure Denim.
Aww.
Which is denim stuff to be available in May. It's weird because this is the issue where we would have expected them to go over all the Digimon Con stuff. It is the shortest and most bleh V-Jump we've seen. We saw more exciting stuff when it was on like hiatus with Seekers.
Yeah.
We get a 2-page spread for the new starter decks. A half page about Gift Arc, which is neat, but fine. Then a chunk of a page going over Tactics and Clay, which is from, you know, a month ago, but
old
still.
News.
And then
like
Denim.
We're already past that.
Denim.
Yeah.
Like,
and like zooming in, it's like these are kind of sad and disappointing.
Like, go over the Godzilla V-Pets. Go over the D-Arcs. Go over like, hey, there's a new mobile game coming. Hey. DLC was announced for Time Stranger. We don't know anything about it, but that's neat.
It's like it's just like, hey, wasn't that thing that happened a month ago fun?
Buy denim.
No longer relevant.
Buy denim.
And buy denim. Because yes. That's what we associate Agumon with, is denim.
You know what my favorite shorts. Part of the denim stuff is? Shorts. He is wearing the denim stuff in the picture.
On the denim.
Yeah. Agumon is wearing the very baseball cap that he's on.
Yes. And then AR... Were you here for the O2 or Adventure fluffy swaddled plushies?
I saw pictures of them, but I was not.
So the Tamers ones are up for pre-order now and will be on September. Is it sad that they're only including Juri and Ryo because they want to make a set of more than three of them?
No, in fact, I'd get rid of Ryo if I had the choice.
No, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
It feels like it should be Shuichan.
No, I mean, if you're going to pick five, these are the five to go with.
Yeah.
I don't...
Although, weirdly, the first two, each one had someone with a different, like, face. I think the O2 one, which came first, it was Cody who looked angry. And
yeah,
then,
I saw Cody. I saw Angie. I saw Angiori.
Yeah, and then Adventure, it was Mimi making, like, a blink cutesy face, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
One sec, let me see if I can...
I only saw the O2 ones.
They're just happy that they're getting merch.
Yeah, right? As opposed to, I've noticed that in all of the, one consistent theme I've noticed with all of the Tamer stuff in this week's update is that they're very, very careful to maintain Rookie's smile. So
okay,
it's not too much.
So the Adventure set, which was the second set, Mimi's winking, which I linked that in chat also.
Okay, that's fun. And Takeru and Hikari and Sora have all the same face.
Yes. So these are a set of all five for 5,500 yen, so about $40 at the moment.
I just like the ones. I just like the ones with the hair going past the sleeping bag. That one's, I saw the one with Miyako and the Ruki and Juri and I guess kind of the boys too.
Okay, which is the best and which is the worst out of the Tamer set?
Worst one's Jen.
I think the best one's Juri.
I think the best one's Juri too.
Because like the hair, like works
the hair,
really well.
Yeah, the little, yeah.
The hair
little
swoopy.
Ponytail just kind of like sticking out.
The little ponytail just kind of popping out there.
And the funny part is like, okay, I love the little decorations. Like the Cyber Dramon decoration's great, but Rio is a case where if Cyber Dramon was not there, you could not identify that was Rio.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's like, wait, is this Junpei or?
Yeah, I also can't remember like what his signature color was in Tamers, whereas the other
it just
other
blocked,
ones are.
And then a Tamers pop-up shop for the 25th anniversary at EO. So here's the funny thing. The art here is not bad, but when I look at it, it reminds me of that Christmas art because everyone's wearing plaid again.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Erase is not quite as bad.
No, here's the thing. The art quality is fine. The Christmas one that we still mock after 5 years is because the actual quality of the art was, like, busted.
Funny thing is, I have one of the acrylics for Takato in that outfit.
I think we all agreed that Takato looked the worst.
It's the Graph Arts one, so it's fine.
Okay, so that's fine, yeah. So, May 15th through May 27th, it'll also be at the online store. Basic stuff, you know, can badges, acrylic keychains, stands. The die-cut smartphone stickers were sell. I think when I went to look, at least for a few hours, a couple of these showed as sold out. Like, they did enough pre-orders that they had to stop to figure it out. And then the second one is Graph Art, which it's the same theme, but not like representing the same art, which they've done a few times.
And less plaid.
Yes. In fact, good. I would say Takato looks significantly better.
Yeah.
He looks so dapper, like he's attending a wedding.
Okay, you know who doesn't look better here though?
Ruki?
Gilmon looks like his head's a bit flat.
Gilmon, what he's got allergies. What the heck?
Yeah. He also looks like
those flowers.
He looks angry.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ruki kind of looks off on that one too. I think that's like, okay.
Now,
the dress for the regular one, like, okay, I think she can put up with that. This one's a little much for
her. Now pop-up store stuff. We got Tamers here. AR, you weren't here when a week ago they announced the Frontier one for no apparent reason.
Yep.
And now we get a double pop-up shop with Adventure and Beat Break with different things. Although I think a number of people noted it feels like these mirror each other really well. And I didn't see it until someone mentioned that. So Coco Labo will have them at two Animate stores in May and June. Adventure gets the theme of cheering. Beat Break gets the theme of playing cards.
Beat Break gets the...
Honestly, it looked like Mafia AU.
It looks like a Casino Night at Bridgerton.
So here's the weird thing. The Adventure ones, we get the kids, the Digimon, and everyone is taking part and styled of it, like, really well.
Yeah.
Beat Break, they continue the theme where they don't know what to do with the Digimon in these, so they're either not there, they're not doing anything, or they're decorations.
They should have put the Digimon in little suits, too.
That would be cute.
It would have been cute.
They should have, but...
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're doing that with Shakomon, but Ludomon, and that would be fantastic.
You could just put a bow on Shakomon. Just do a bow. So, these are also the standard
stuff.
Shell
with dice.
Oh, that would be fun.
That'd be a neat one.
Or you could do the shell game. Shakomon shell game.
Joe looks weirdly happy here.
I mean, they're supposed to be, like, cheering and supporting, so they're supposed to look happy. The only one, like, really that ruins the mood for me is Koshiro.
Unlike the Beat Break one where almost everyone is not happy to be here. Tomro doesn't look happy. Reina looks upset. Makoto's happy. Kyo's very happy. You can't really see Raito's face.
They're serious.
Hodoruko's upset.
That's like they're
Granite's
serious
upset.
Card players. They're ready for high stakes poker or whatever they had to put on those gaudy shorts for.
And then after that, we got the results of the favorite collaboration monster from the first Godzilla vs. Digimon collaboration, and Godzilla War Greymon just smashed everyone. In fact, I think the order is exactly what me and Dev thought it would be.
Yeah, it's like the one I voted for is at the bottom, but yeah. I understand why.
No, like, the funny part was we even talked in detail about why that was probably going to happen. Yeah, War Greymon makes this sense here. And he got more than 4 out of every 10 votes. Although, no one actually had a bad showing, to be honest. If Skull Greymon had been under 10%, I would not have been surprised.
It's like my favorite, but I understand why he kind of sucks.
Then we get from the weekend little potpourri batch, a few previews of some upcoming Beat Break stuff. The SD Tals look fun. It was Aim's birthday. Digimon music producer posted a nice photo of flowers and a birthday message.
Aw, it's very nice though.
Yeah. Kenji Watanabe was in Paris, France for Gaia TCG, so posted some photos and other stuff. Some neat photos of that event. And also, I like the one where...
That wasn't at the Philly one.
I like the one where he's with other people, and the one guy clearly does not want the photo taken, so he's just holding up something.
In front of his face.
Yeah.
Is it a clear file? I don't think so.
That lamp looked like the weird hat in that picture.
Yeah.
you're wrong.
Then another volume of V-Tamer came out in Spain. So Tenya Yabuno posted a photo, an image noting that that's the volume that came with the bonus chapter, which introduced Parallelmon, which has been in games now. Then some Beat Break art. So first, from last week's episode, Akiminiaki posted, after we'd already done the weekend batch, art of Harumi in his curry shop gear. And then from the new episode, they posted Makoto under the control of Mamimon. And Takeru Kojima, the character designer for Beat Break, drew the Kinoko gang.
Under the control of Mamimon without the wrist thingy, or the arm thingy.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I saw it. I decided not to comment on it in the post itself.
Nope. What's he doing
with his hand?
That's not under the control of Mamimon. That's just Makoto. He's just decided that's what he wants to go with. He wants quality time. He's going after his love language.
And then
he's going to copy it on the Karapmon.
And then we have questions. So first up was what?
I want to see him copy on Karapmon.
And then we have one sent in by Yoshi Man right before the show started. They want to know, what do we think is the chance that they will announce a Beat Break film or OVA before the end of 2026?
No.
Yeah, I've
done those in a long time.
Yeah.
And we've said it before, it does not really feel like Beat Break is setting the world aflame, to be honest. If they do Blu-rays, though, I could see them doing some sort of mini-episode OVA thing. But if you mean like, oh, Beat Break ends and they're going to follow it up, almost absolutely not.
I mean, Saber's got like a 20-minute little thing.
We're not getting the majesty that was the Saber's movie.
Yeah, but... Well, that was opening for another movie, and I think Dev might have meant that weird episode zero thing, but that was like a DVD bonus in like the age of selling DVDs. And then someone said, well, V-Pets aren't really the main thing for Digimon anymore. Does it feel like there's been a better selection of them recently? There has been a decent selection of them.
Nostalgia spreads beyond Digimon.
Also, they're like easy to produce and, you know, customized to like different niche series and crossovers, so I mean
it feels like
they're doing well.
It feels like the setup for the color does let them customize it easier because they've done stuff with that's fun. Then someone said, any movies you're looking forward to this year can be new or a new release of an old movie.
I still want to see the fucking Mario Galaxy movie.
I feel
like I should too. Like, I get that they're not good, but I also still kind
of... Oh, I like the first one well enough. Was it what I wanted from a Mario movie? Not really, but I enjoyed it.
I just want to see silly things with Koopas.
It honestly was what I wanted. I don't need it to be good. It's fine if it's just serotonin for...
Unironically,
an hour.
One of my favorite movies of all time is still the live action one from the 90s.
Yeah, I don't hate that movie. I don't hate it.
I have the fancy 4K release from Australia.
I feel like I need to watch that. I need to watch that movie again.
Let's also, because there are also home video releases of stuff I'm looking forward to. Is we're a couple weeks away from the 4K HDR release of Speed Racer.
I forgot that existed.
And then they're finally doing a good home video release of Drunken Master 2, which is one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies, which I've mentioned many times. So I'm looking forward to that. Yes. Then Monas, do you think people will play Up and Eliason equally, or one be hyped more than the other? It's hard to gauge so early. It feels...
We haven't seen gameplay of Up at all, and obviously Eliason is going to be geared towards people who like card games.
Yeah.
I hope Eliason does better. I don't know what's going to happen, though.
Yeah, and someone else asked, which ties into that, we'll be reviewing those games when they're released. I'm sure we'll comment on them, but like, here's the thing. I just don't play enough card games where I feel like I could jump into Eliason and give an actual review. And Digimon Up...
We'll see how it works out, so...
And Up, I assume I will do what I do with many of these types of games, where I will jump into it, and then after a week or two, I will never touch it again, is my assumption.
I will see what the gameplay is like.
I don't know. I ended up finishing the storyline for Rear Eyes.
If I remember...
I also did not really engage in the gacha element.
If I remember right, though... Wasn't finishing the story, like, the last week or two, you, like, speeding along to finish it before it was gone?
Yeah, but I really wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, I was, that but, was something but I mean, like, okay, I have catching up to do.
But I mean, it wasn't interesting this. Enough to actually continue with until it was going to be lost, is what I mean.
I don't play mobile games that much.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, the story was good. I liked the story.
Oh, and chat is also looking forward to Mortal Kombat 2 and Mandalorian and Grogu. I can't think of a movie that feels like the air has been let out of the balloon more than Baby Yoda the movie.
I didn't realize it existed.
I think I remember seeing a trailer once.
It seems to be... The trailers seem to just be confusing people because it doesn't actually line up with the show. Like, they're trying to make it look like the show did, but without any explanation where you have to wait for the movie for it to make sense. If that makes sense. Like, the ship that everyone likes from the show was blown up in the show. They don't have it anymore. They're flying around in it in the movie. Now, obviously it's a new ship, but like, that just confuses people who watch the show and who don't like pay attention to stuff in Star Wars. You know what I mean? Then someone said, Digimon has made me want to look into Japanese monster movies. And I was wondering what a good place to start is. Honestly, the best answer is the cheat answer.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Like, Godzilla Minus One streaming almost everywhere. Discs everywhere are cheap. Looks modern. If that's... So it's a good place to start. Somewhere weird to start with, find the 90s Gamera films. And if you like Progonomon, he's very clearly based on Gamera.
Yeah, just one for one.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, Godzilla's like the cheat. Then, okay, so this one was well-timed since AR is here, since he actually went to one.
That's right.
Why have the U.S. Digimon pop-up shop seem lackluster? Could we get something better? And what would you like to see in a Digimon pop-up event? So the first one is actually easy, and it's that it's less really pop-up shop and more marketing to get people to know Digimon stuff is there.
It does.
Like, hey, yeah, here's a shelf.
Like, yeah. Digimon, I mean, especially since Digimon, like, it has this little corner, and from where I was, that the Mitsuwa also had a big, like, big area, a big play area for the One Piece game. But having, like, this little Digimon corner next to it was trying to capture some of that, and just kind of said, hey, we're here too.
Yeah,
I think as far as, it did definitely seem lackluster, and I think it's just because there's so... You know, if you're interested in buying things, there's you basically choice is cards or
some
model
figures.
Kits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is fine. I bought a model kit there. Yeah. I wanted to support it. But like, it would have been nice if they just kind of filled out the shelves a little better. You know, bring some of the surplus junk in there that, you know, You're trying to unload. Like, just throw some of that on the shelves and watch and
get rid of it. Get a bunch of like the Pop Mart magnet figures. Toss them.
Get the magnet. I got one of those for Christmas.
It really does feel like whatever they happen to have.
Yeah, like just grab some of the, you know, grab some of the surplus Otodamas or whatever you're trying to get rid of.
And then there's the, could we get something better? Yes. And in fact, it wasn't super fancy, but people seem to like the UK pop-up shops.
And I will say that one of the fun things was
it was less sad looking.
The gacha machine was actually really cool. They had the movie poster one.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And they had all of the movie posters. I now have a poster for the first Tamers movie that I never thought I needed.
Heck yeah.
And then someone said,
that's cool.
And I feel like we've described what we'd like to see in a Digimon pop-up event, which is we'd like it to feel relevant. Yeah. And Hal, give us some of those horrible drinks, because I'm certainly not going anywhere.
Why the fuck not? Just give me.
Give us almonds. Give us crushed sesame seed. Give us those weird cloudy pink and green drinks that Mimi randomly gets. Hell, give us
horrible pieces of gum.
Give us
Johto figures.
Give us the coffee with a strawberry in it. It was tea with strawberry. Coffee with marshmallow.
Please don't say that out loud, because I'm reasonably close to one of those potential venues, and that would mean I'd have to try one, and I don't want to.
Let's see. Someone said, what is your personal favorite episode out of all Digimon TV season series with the franchise? Favorite episode? The problem there is it invariably doesn't end up being the favorite, ends up being whatever's the most memorable, which is why, like, a lot of people would go, it's episode 21, it's the one where Leomon dies, it's the other one where Leomon dies.
Okay, no, I have an answer for this.
Okay, you go.
Now that I think about it, do you have a favorite episode? It is, I'm trying to get the number. It's the Tamers episode where they come back. Episode 41 of Tamers is my favorite episode of all time. It's the one where they come back from the digital world. You have the big dramatic airlift out of the digital world. You have all of the emotions of the family reunion. You have that great scene on the train between Picado and where he's pouring his heart out to a Jiri type. Yeah.
Oops.
And like there's your emotion. There's your shipping for you. Like that was sincere.
Yeah.
And it was really good dubbing, and it was greatly acted on both sides. That's my favorite episode of all time. So
that's not a bad one.
It's not one of the ones like, and people immediately think of like the ones you'd mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's hard to not think of the ones that are most memorable just because most memorable.
Like, my favorite episode of Adventures, the Flower Power one where we get Lilymon for the first.
That's a good one.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Except the funny thing is there's a lot going on. Like, everyone is involved, like, all doing their own thing, and it's just rapid fire shot, like, constant going on between different points of action, and Koshiro isn't in the episode at all. It's hilarious. Of all the people
I
that just
I really cannot think of a favorite.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Your favorite's from 2020.
It's that is one it, is it the one with
money that
is it the
like.
Is it the potato one?
That's got to be the... there you go.
Potato, Joe using the hammer.
You know, last week put me in a dilemma because I had to try to remember. It's like, did they do a cooking episode in 2020? Because I don't remember whether they did or not. They may have. I know there was one in Cross Wars, but... Trying to cycle through all the crap in
there's
2020
cooking, there's
in
cooking,
Ghost Game.
There's cooking stuff. I don't think there was an actual cooking one.
Okay.
I think. Someone asked, did any of us try the One Piece Popeyes collab?
I didn't know there was one.
I didn't realize it existed, but I don't think there was like a Popeyes like conveniently near me to be.
That one disappoints me because it feels like that's the time when Popeyes should make sure they're using temporarily the Popeyes character, even though they're separate.
Yeah. Do they have the right to that?
No, but they do occasionally license it for stuff, but not super often. But it feels like
we need to establish what affiliation that is if Popeye would be in, because he seemed like a Navy guy to me, and I don't know if that kind of flies in the face of
not really piratey.
Yeah,
he's not really piratey. I think he's a government agent.
Yeah, the
works. Popeye works for the man. Screw him.
Nah, Popeye would beat Luffy.
He serves Lord Nelson.
But yeah, it's most of the stuff in the collab that I saw was normal. The only things that were unique was it was a cupcake and like a fruit lemonade that they said was gum lemonade. And I think I think they did a slushy version of it where it's like pink lemonade. It's just they say it's gum fruit.
Great. Now I won't rest until I find a death battle between Luffy and Popeye. That needs to happen now. If I ever meet the Epic Rap Battles of History guys again.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
That'd be good. Then
I got such a kick out of it. I got to meet those guys. It's really fun.
Last chance for questions from chat. Someone said, we're close to the 30th anniversary of Digimon. While there was Shin Monzimon with the V-Panda and Lugumon at the tail end of it with Seekers, do we know why there wasn't a 25th anniversary Digimon like prior anniversaries? Will we get a 30th anniversary Digimon next year? We do know why, and it's actually really obvious when you think about it. It was supposed to be Lugumon, but when Seekers only ends up starting, like, what was it, like 2 months before the anniversary ended?
Yeah.
You can't really go like, oh, it's the 25th anniversary Digimon, but we also are going to introduce him, you know, 8 months before we use him, but then it's so close to the end where they're like, oh, we're launching this as part of the 25th anniversary of Digimon, and then, like, the anniversary's over. And they
also The real answer is that being the 2050th doesn't roll off the tongue the way being the 20th is.
Yes.
I was waiting for that.
You knew it was coming.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I would expect something for the 30th, especially since there isn't quite as much stuff happening where, you know, like we had Ghost Game running. That kind of clashes with wanting to let stuff go to a degree. So yeah,
did not help that I also had when I was playing Time Stranger, I did have Zubamon on the regular.
Oh no, I did also. His evolutions are quite helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Zubamon was one that I almost always had in.
He comes up really early too.
Also, relatively. Am I wrong, or does he get the crap beat out of him more than others? It felt like he was dying more than even though I like was pumping him up as best I could.
Maybe he just has a target on him.
Probably. Yeah.
I was very selective. I was trying to be selective about who got in what fights. Makes sense.
AR, do you have anything to talk about?
Not Digimon related. I mean, I've still got my blog posts on Tumblr. I'm still doing my quick reviews of, like, same-day reviews of the Beat Break episode. So you can still get my thoughts on them on my Tumblr. I am actually still working on my Earthbound project that I'm going to start posting in a couple weeks. So check my... Yeah, doing a little fun. I'm doing kind of a fun thing, a bit of a departure from what I usually do. So look for that starting in a couple of weeks. You know, just keep an eye on my Tumblr or my AO3 for details on that. Or follow me on Blue Sky, too. I'm Aeropulver there.
Yeah, I make sure to tag you whenever possible.
You do, yes.
Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Onmon.
Can we also send
for a particular reason?
Can we also send people to the one article to still mock that they have not changed the name out of being stubborn?
Go for it. I don't fucking care.
Despite being used in the sub, the dub, on the Japanese site in English, on the English site in English, it is still not called the 5 stars on Wikimon.
I was going to say, is like, have they still not gotten to 5 stars yet?
No, they're still going, no, this is an inaccurate translation. It's the 5 planets. And it's like, you can say that, but if you go to the Japanese website in big fucking letters in English and it moves around, it's 5 stars. Also, the logo's a star, which, like...
Right? It's 5 yeah. stars.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity about this.
Yes. Like, here's the thing. I will give when it's an obvious translation, or if you want to note that planet would be a more accurate translation, even though they clearly want it to be stars. I'm fine with that. It's the same thing where we, like, point out that Yoxtu is an incorrect translation of that Digimon's name. It is Yo-Yo-Mon. Someone made an oopsie on translation, but it is worth mentioning that it has been spelled officially as Yoxtu. But it's also Yo-Yo-Mon. In this case, there's no disagreement on anything.
like me still shitting on the spelling Puttymon's like, no, no, I took Italian for years.
Yeah.
That's plural.
Yeah. I would not expect I would not expect AR to pop up again soon, although we may kidnap him for the 300th episode in a few weeks.
Based on
his availability.
Oh my god, people have made unofficial death battles between Popeye and Luffy. I love this. I need to check those out.
Send that shit to me.
Right? Like, there's a couple of them.
To be fair, there are entire communities just based around trying to pump out as much of that in the sense of power scaling junk as possible.
There is a death battle fan in wiki that like goes through what they believe.
I have to be honest. I would never want to read that ever.
I can't. I mean, I'm not going to attest that it's any good. I haven't actually read it yet. I skipped to the end to see who'd win. I'm not going to say. I won't spoil it for anybody. Yeah.
So we will catch you guys next time. AR definitely will not, although we will see his availability when we do episode 300.
I definitely can't do next week, but hopefully you catch me on an off week.
Okay, AR, before we finish this up here, would you like to guess what they do with Mystery Girl in the first episode?
I actually don't want to guess. I don't like to speculate because then it's like I'm cheering for a certain outcome.
Yeah, I tend to that. I will go with the funny guess, though. Shipping.
No. That is the last thing that they're going to do.
Okay, AR's guess is that she's Serial Experiment Slain.
I don't think that either.
I know you don't. It's just funny.
My bet is going to be she's Homura.
I'd stick with Key the Metal Idol, I was looking up the plot synopsis of Key the Metal Idol. I'm like, wow, she really is just Eugene.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. I don't know why my brain jumped to Lane. You're right. You were talking about
Key. Because I usually make the Lane illusions. And this time I'm going with, it's like, I also forgot that Key the Metal Idol is like 10 years older than Lane.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's an old show.
Me and Dev will catch you guys next time. AR will catch you when he does. Bother AR at his site and social media. He would enjoy it.
Yes. Yes, please.
Thank you everyone for showing up. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.